Have you ever been in a situation, or maybe you have known somebody that had some sort of an illness or a disease or something that it really just kind of freaked you out, you know? Maybe it was something that was contagious, or maybe something that you didn't know whether or not it was contagious, and that caused you some pause. I guess one of the things that I can think about, and most of us probably can, particularly over the past recent 5 years or so, was COVID. I mean, when that first came out, you know, if somebody had COVID, it was almost like it was a death sentence. There were a lot of people who were very anxious and very afraid of that, and we certainly didn't want to pick that up. Well, today, as we take a look at another one of the miracles of the Master, we're going to see Jesus in just such a situation and how he reacted to it. So grab your Bible, come on back in just a minute. We're going to look at the cleansing of the leper out of Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. I'll see you in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible Study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. So glad that you're joining us today. Hope and pray you've got your Bible with you and you've already turned over to Mark's Gospel and chapter 1. We're going to kind of pick these verses apart a little bit. As we started our Bible study, I mentioned being around somebody or the fear of being around somebody that had something that was maybe contagious, maybe there wasn't a cure for it, maybe you found yourself in that position or that situation. As you think about that, you know, what was your reaction? You know, for some people it was like, man, I'm going to stay away. I'm not going to have anything to do, you know, with that person. I'm just not going to be around because I'm afraid of what may happen or what may take place. Well, a similar thing took place with a particular disease known as leprosy back in the time when Jesus walked this earth. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in just a moment, but there's something I want us to see about this. And like I said, we're going to break it down a little bit slower today. We're going to pick some of these verses apart. But one of the things that I want us to take a look at is the approach of the leper. Now, in this particular passage, there is a leper. You know, leprosy was one of those diseases that was one of the most feared in the ancient world at that particular time. There was no known cure for it. But it was also a mark that people thought that this, if a person had leprosy, they figured that they, you know, had done something so sinful, and this was a punishment of God. There were just so many social mores that went against this thing about leprosy, and there were plenty of rules for that, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. But we find in this particular passage we're looking at today in Mark chapter 1 that there was a leper who actually approached Jesus. Look with me, if you would, at Mark's Gospel chapter 1, beginning with verse 40. Again, that's Mark's Gospel chapter 1. And let's look at verse 40. It says, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.'" Now, see, this leper approaches Jesus, but he does so with humility, and he does so with desperation, okay? This was demonstrating both belief in Jesus' power as well as hope in his willingness to be able to heal. Now, there are many things that could be said about leprosy. When you look at it from the historic days, you know, there were a lot of, I guess you would call them social rules and even laws that were being broken by what this person that had leprosy did when he actually approached Jesus, okay? So the leper's actions actually are defying the social norms of his time. You know, lepers were considered to be outcasts. They were not allowed to approach other people. In fact, there were places, you know, back in the ancient days that were little cities, as it were, that they called them leper colonies. You may have heard that word used before. So that everybody that was in a leper colony had leprosy. They weren't necessarily afraid of each other because they already had the illness, but the rest of society was afraid of them. So they were essentially a social outcast. They would have to go and live in these leper colonies if they were outside of the leper colonies and they were walking down the street and somebody was, you know, coming toward them. They would have to, according to the laws of that day, they would have to yell, "Unclean, unclean," or they would have to move to the other side of the street. So you can see, you know, how people viewed it in that particular time. So for this leper to even approach Jesus, somebody who did not have leprosy, was a defiance of the social norms as well as the laws of that particular time. Now, what he said to him, you know, his words were, if you are willing, you know, that shows recognition of Jesus' authority, and it's acknowledging both his power and his compassionate nature. You know, there are many times that even in society today that I will pray and say, Lord, listen, I know that you are well capable of healing cancer or healing whatever it may be that you're praying for. Lord, I know that you can. I'm just asking if you will, you know. And that was essentially what this man was saying. He says, if you are willing. It wasn't, well, you know, maybe you can, or I think you can, or I hope you can. He said, if you are willing. In other words, is it the will of the Lord in this particular case to provide what this man is asking for, which in this case is healing? But notice what I said about that. I said that shows not only recognition of Jesus' authority in all manners, but it's also acknowledging both his power as well as his compassionate nature. Yeah, we talked about compassion a little bit in the last miracle that we spoke about last week. Compassion is something that will drive you to an action. Having compassion for something will move you to do something about it, okay? So this leper's stance, what position was he in based on, you know, according to the Word of God? The leper's stance of being on his knees signifies a deep reverence and a submission for who Jesus is, as well as all of his power that he has to be able to rule over sickness and illness and all of the circumstances and situations. So this man was coming to him, but he was coming to him in desperation. There was nothing else he could do. Yeah, doctors would say there's no cure. People would say, I don't want to be near you. And this man was desperate to have his old life back, to be able to go about society, to be able to walk down the streets without having to yell unclean, to be able to walk maybe into the market where goods were being sold, to be able to be in the midst of his family. I mean, you know, this was also something that was considered to be very, very contagious. Remember what I said as we started our Bible study? This was one of the most feared illnesses of the ancient world back in that particular time. So here's a desperate man. He has approached Jesus. He has broken all of the social and legal norms just to get into his presence. And when he does, he hits his knees and he cries out, you know, to the Lord for help. You see, so yeah, what can we learn from this? You know, what is something that you and I can take to it? I've often said that being able to take what we learn in Scripture and make it applicable to our lives really is when the things we learn from the Word of God don't just rest in our head, but they trickle down to our heart. There's a difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge. So how do we take what we learn in our Scriptures and apply them to our lives? Well, one of the things that we can learn from today's text is that, you know, approaching Jesus, we need to do so with the same humility, with the same faith, and with the fact that we are trusting in his power and we are trusting in his compassion over whatever the circumstance that's going on in our lives may be. You know, we need to break away from the societal fears when we are drawing near to God for help. Yeah, and when I say societal fears, you know, society is not one that touts Jesus. In fact, if you're a believer, then you'll know that there are people who will or have distanced themselves from you. They don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. They don't want to have anything to do with church. They don't believe in it. They don't want to hear you talk about it. And because of that, oftentimes they will distance themselves from you. And what that does is that creates a pressure upon us. It creates a pressure for us to act more like them when we're in society. We need to be able to break that, particularly when we're going to our Lord and Savior and we're asking him for help. You know, don't do that in, you know, in silence, as it were. This was a man who was in a desperate situation. He didn't care who it was that saw him. I guess he felt like at that particular point, well, you know what, if they arrest me, what are they going to do? In fact, they may not even arrest me, because even those who could arrest me were probably afraid that if they touched me, they would wind up getting this leprosy. So, you know, there are a lot of moving parts and things that are going on in this particular passage. And there are a lot of moving parts that are going on in the situations that you have in your life right now. So another thing I wanted us to see is Jesus' compassionate response to this man that approached him. You know, Jesus didn't sit back and say, oh, get away from me. You've got leprosy. He didn't say, you know, whatever you do, okay, you're in close proximity, but don't touch me. He didn't say any of those things. But Jesus had compassion upon the man, and his response was a compassionate response. Look with me, if you would, at Mark's Gospel chapter 1, and in verse 41, it says this. It says, then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. Okay? Jesus responds not with reluctance. He didn't sit back and go, ooh, this guy's, you know, dirty or he's unclean. But his response was immediate compassion towards this man. And remember what I said about compassion a moment ago. When you have compassion in your life, compassion is one of those qualities that moves you to do something. So Jesus not only had compassion upon him, but Jesus, also breaking all the rules, reaches out and he touches this man. Now, this is an act that is breaking cultural and legal barriers along the way. And of course, like I say, you know, put yourself in that situation. You know, what would you do? How would you act or react? I can still remember, you know, back in the 80s, how people would react around somebody who was an AIDS patient. You know, they were afraid to come in contact with them. But yet there were those people that I saw in the healthcare profession and otherwise who were compassionate towards those folks that were suffering with that particular disease. And they loved on them. They cared for them. They weren't afraid to reach out and to provide a healing touch. And, of course, that was breaking all kinds of social barriers with that particular situation. But in this case with Jesus, it wasn't just social. It was also legal barriers that were being broken. Okay? So Jesus' reaction of being moved with compassion suggests a very deep emotional response to the suffering of the leper and the stigma that he faces. I mean, just because this man had leprosy, Jesus knew all of the things that people were thinking about him. Jesus knew all the people that were keeping their distance from him. Jesus knew all of the things that come along with having something like that. He wasn't able to be the type of supporter to his family that he could have or should have been. He wasn't able to go into the workplace and to be able to provide for himself or his family. There were just so many things attached to it, and Jesus had compassion upon him. And his touch, the touch of Jesus, signifies a breaking down of those societal and those cultural barriers. And why do I say that? Because touch was forbidden. You did not touch a leper. That was something that was just a big, gigantic no-no. And Jesus just kind of broke all the rules, didn't he? You know, sometimes we get these man-made rules around, and we're too busy following man-made rules, and we're not busy enough following what the Lord wants us to follow according to his word. So Jesus had compassion upon him. He's the rule breaker. He reached out and he touched this man, which was completely forbidden. And then Jesus makes a declaration along the way. And in that declaration, he says to the man, he says, I am willing. Yeah. Remember what I said a moment ago? There are times in my life and even now that I'll pray, Lord, I know you can. I'm just wondering if you will. I'm asking if you will do this. I know you can heal cancer. I know you can make the lame walk. I know you can make the blind see. I know you can make the deaf speak. And the list goes on and on and on. I know that the Lord has the power to do that. But the question is, will he do that? Is it part of his will? Is it part of something he's trying to teach somebody else? Obviously, we don't want to pray outside of the Lord's will. So this man, as he approached Jesus and in his desperation, he essentially said to him, he said, if you are willing, I know you can, but are you willing to touch me? Are you willing to provide this healing? And Jesus responds, I am willing. And in doing so, that shows his readiness to heal and to restore. And it also highlights his divine authority over all of illness and all of impurity. And that's something that you and I need to remember and understand today. We serve the same God that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob served. We serve the same God whose only begotten Son is Jesus Christ, who went to Calvary's cross and through the barred tomb and resurrected on the third day and ascended back to the Father that we might be able to be free from those sins. The same things that we read about Jesus and the power and the authority that he had over so many things, the things we read about back in those days of the New Testament as Jesus walked the earth, he is still just as powerful as anything that you have ever seen or heard or read about him in accordance with his word, okay? Once again, we go back to application. Well, taking these things that we've learned from this particular passage today so far, you know, can we embrace a heart of compassion like Jesus had? You know, so that when we see somebody in a situation, when we see somebody suffering in the manner that this man did, our first thoughts aren't about us. Oh, mercy, if I get near this person, am I going to catch this? If I get near this person. Now, understand my heart. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be careful to take precautions. I mean, that is just common sense. But the bottom line is we need to have that compassion for the folks that are going through these tough times, okay? We need to embrace that heart of compassion just like Jesus exhibits in this particular passage that we're going through today. We need to break down barriers, and we need to extend those healing touches to those that are marginalized by society. And by doing so, we're showing God's love through action. You know what that means? That means at times going to the places nobody else wants to go. I'm often reminded of the passage, I believe it's in John chapter 5, that we talked about not too many weeks ago, where the man who was down by the pool of Bethesda that was had waited some 38 years, and it was that every time an angel stirred the water, the first person into that water would be healed. And this was a man who could not walk. And, you know, Jesus asked him, he said, well, do you want to be healed? And the man didn't tell him yes or no. The man said, well, every time the angel stirs the water, somebody gets in there before I do. So he handed Jesus the excuse as to why he was not healed. He didn't even answer Jesus' question. And, of course, we know as the story goes, Jesus healed the man. And I've often said that one of the greatest tragedies of that passage is, we don't read about the fact that this man ever went back down to the river to help somebody else in. Now, it's a good possibility that he did. We don't know. We don't have the follow-up to what this man's life was after he was healed. But you know what? Most people, for 38 years, he had been down there among the sickness, among the deaf, among the mute, among those who had all kinds of infirmities, who had all kinds of social issues, that had all kinds of emotional issues. And what he wanted most, according to what he expressed to Jesus, was somebody to help him into the water. And yet we don't read anything about him going back to do that. Folks, it takes some people with a heart of compassion to go down to that riverbank that I have just illustrated to you to help others into the water, to not be afraid to be in the places that nobody else really wants to be, to be used as the hands and the feet and the voice and the heart of our Lord and Savior. So can we embrace a heart of compassion like Jesus did, as we've read about today? Can we break down those barriers, and can we extend those healing touches and those soothing words that come from our Lord and Savior to touch those in those areas by the riverbank, that marginalized group of people that society ostracizes? And can we show God's love through actions rather than just simple words? Okay. A third point I want us to see out of our text today is the command and the testimony that we read about in Mark chapter 1, particularly verses 44 and 45. So look with me at verses 44 and 45 of our text. It says, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in the deserted places, and they came to him from every direction." You see, Jesus instructed this healed man to adhere to the law. Now, what was the law? You know, according to the Mosaic law and back in that day, if somebody had leprosy, and maybe they were ostracized, maybe they were living in that that leper colony that we talked about, maybe they were the ones that had to yell unclean, but then let's just say that for whatever reason, whether the Lord healed them or what, the Lord obviously is the one who brings about the healing, because remember, there was no known cure for leprosy back at this particular given time. So let's just say that this skin disease of leprosy disappeared from them. Well, the way that they would be deemed to be clean once again and be able to enter back into society and not have to yell unclean and be able to not live in those leper colonies was that they would have to go to the priest. That would be examined by the priest, and the priest would be the one who would deem them to be clean at that point, to where they could re-enter their life as a person that does not have leprosy any longer, okay? So Jesus instructs this man that he has just healed to adhere to the law, okay? To go present yourself to the priest, you know, using his healing as a testimony to the religious leaders. I mean, could you imagine what it would be like? I mean, he presents himself to the priest, and they say, what are you here for? Well, you know, some of you all already know because you've seen me before, but I had that skin disease called leprosy. You know, I've been living in the leper colony outside of town, and, you know, I don't have it anymore, so I'm here to show myself to you. And oh, by the way, the reason I don't have it anymore is because Jesus touched me and healed me. You know, so this was going to be a testimony to the religious leaders as to how this man was healed. Now remember, the religious leaders were the ones that were usually trying to hunt Jesus down and create problems for him. If there was anybody who should have known that he was the long prophesied Messiah, it should have been the priest, it should have been the Pharisees, it should have been those that were learned in the scriptures, but yet they kept trying to trip Jesus up every way, in every shape, form, and fashion. So Jesus says, do what the law says, go down there, present yourself to the priest, and in doing so, he knew that this man was going to tell them that Jesus of Nazareth was the one who provided the healing touch to heal him. So this obviously would be a testimony to the religious leaders. Now, I've said so many times about giving testimony, mainly because I have a law enforcement background as well. I always knew that if I were to sit in a court of law, that anything that I testified to had to be something that I knew firsthand. You know, there's a term, if you go and testify to something that you haven't experienced, something you haven't seen, something you haven't heard, then the legal term for that is hearsay, okay? You cannot testify to hearsay. I cannot say, well, Johnny told me what happened at this car accident, because a good defense attorney would say, objection, Your Honor, that's hearsay. You know, he didn't see it, he didn't hear it, but yet, so he can't testify to it. So with this man going and presenting himself to the priest, telling the story of the healing touch of Jesus, this was a testimony, his personal firsthand testimony that he would be sharing with those religious leaders as a testimony to the healing power and the all-over power of Jesus the Messiah, okay? So Jesus commands, his command to show himself to the priest fulfills that law of Moses, ensuring the man's complete reintegration into society. In other words, if he didn't do this, there was no other way that this man was going to be allowed back into society as somebody who was a cleansed person. He had to follow the law. And Jesus didn't just say, oh, just go about your way, everything will be cool. He told the man what to do that he might be made or pronounced clean by the priest of that particular time, according to the Mosaic law, okay? So the man's actions of sharing the news demonstrates the overwhelming joy and gratification that results from divine intervention. Man, I mean, think about how happy you would be. This man, I don't know how long he had been in that position, but all of a sudden, Jesus reaches out and touches him, and it's gone. It's gone immediately. There's no scars. There's no marks. There's no nothing. I would be willing to say that the man's skin was probably better than it was before he got leprosy. and his actions of being able to go and share that news, that just demonstrates the overwhelming joy and gratitude that result from divine intervention. How many times has God done something in your life, and maybe he's intervened in a circumstance or a situation, and you know, you knew for a fact that it was by the hand of God that you had been delivered from whatever the situation may have been. Think about the joy that it filled you with. Think about the gratitude that you had toward the Master. And think about the fact that how you wanted to tell everybody what the Lord had done in your life. And that is exactly the way that it should be, okay? Now, his testimony inadvertently increased the fame of Jesus. And in doing so, I mean, obviously he went and told the priest, and I could just imagine the talk. By the way, the grapevine, as we know it in our society today, was very alive and well back in Jesus' day. So the news of this man, and people probably knew who he was. They probably knew what his condition was. Now they know that he's healed. So there was a lot of talk that was going on. So you know, his testimony and all the chatting that took place about it inadvertently increased the fame of Jesus, and it attracted more people to him who were seeking healing. You know, they're sitting back going, well, I knew that guy had leprosy. I've known him for years. Everybody's been staying away from me, but look at him. He's clean now. He's been pronounced clean. And he said Jesus did it. Well, I have a problem, or a loved one of mine has a problem. I need to get them into the presence of Jesus. And so now all of a sudden, Jesus' fame has spread even more. Okay, back to application. How do we apply that to our lives? You see, you know, we need to follow Jesus' instructions in our lives. Now, sometimes people say, well, what instructions are you talking about? He gives us a whole book of instructions on how to live. I promise you, the answers are in here. This is a living word. It is breathed into us by the Holy Spirit. It's interpreted by the Holy Spirit. So we need to follow Jesus' instructions in our lives, you know, serving as living testimonies to his work. You know what? We need to be sharing with people what the Lord has done in our lives. Be that living testimony of him. That is what will draw and attract people to him. Remember, it's not because of you. It's not because you had a good doctor. It's because you got a great, great Savior. And when he shows up in your life in those big ways, you need to be telling people that so that you become that living testimony of his work shown forth in your life. You need to share your experiences of his grace and bring others to the understanding of his power and his compassion along the way, okay? So as we kind of look at our story today in Mark's Gospel chapter 1, verses 40 through 45 of the story of the cleansing of the leper, it offers us a profound lessons in faith. It offers us lessons in compassion and the transformative power of Jesus. You see, the leper's faith in Jesus' radical compassion challenges us to live out these values in our lives. Does it do that for you? I hope and pray that it does. Just think about it for a moment. You know, when you approach Jesus, do so with humility and do so with faith. You know, man, I'm going to tell you one thing. Faith is something that really needs to be stretched and grown in our lives. So as we approach Jesus, do so with humility. We know what humility is. And if you need a definition, humility is the opposite of pride. So let's approach Jesus with humility and do so with faith, believing that he is able. Remember, Lord, I know you can. I'm just wondering if you will. So humility and faith. And extend his compassion to others by breaking down those societal barriers and bear witness to his transforming power in our lives as living testimonies of his grace. Can you do that? I hope and pray that you will. That's your challenge for this week as you go about life, just to go to the Father and be that living testimony to who he is. Let me go ahead and tell you about what we're going to be looking at next week. As you know, we're in a series on the miracles of the Messiah. So for this week, I want you to spend some time in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 8. Next week, we will be looking at our seventh miracle of the Master, and I just entitled it Healing the Centurion's Servant, which comes out of Matthew's Gospel chapter 8. verses 5 through 13. So pay close and careful attention to those particular passages. Be studied up on them as we gather together to meet for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church next week. Let me go ahead and pray with you as we close our time together today, and I pray God's going to bless you in a very special way. Father, as we come to you now, Lord, we thank you so much for the fact that, Lord, you have dominion, you have authority over sickness. You have a dominion and authority and power over all of our situations. And Lord, I pray that you will lead us to be compassionate. You taught us by example in your word what compassion was. Help us, Father, to be compassionate to those that you have placed in our lives, those that we come in contact with, and Father, even those that we do not know. Lord, help our faith to be strong in you, to know that you have that authority. As we exercise that compassion, Lord, I pray that we will truly be able to see transformation in our lives. Lord, we know that accurate information does not equal transformation. So, Lord, help us to take the accurate information and look for the transformation that only you can provide. Lord, I pray that we might truly be radical as we live our lives out for you. May we have radical compassion. May we have radical humility as we approach you. And Lord, may we see great things done that we might be a walking testimony for who you really are. Help us, Father, as your word tells us, to lift you up that you might draw all men unto you. And we'll be careful to praise you for it as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey folks, again, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I want to give you a personal invitation. We would love to have you come and visit with us, to worship with us in spirit and in truth. Our services are every Sunday morning at 10:45 a.m. in our sanctuary. We do have other opportunities for discipleship. That's, we have Sunday school classes. We have some small groups for men, small groups for women. We do have a WANA program for our children that runs during the school year. They're, like I say, you just make sure that it's not during the summertime when school's out. But there are also other opportunities to serve on the mission field, and we would love to have you come by and visit with us. If you do so, please introduce yourself to me. I'm Pastor Roy. I'd love to see you guys Sunday. God bless. Have a great week, and I hope to see you this coming Sunday in the Lord's house.